Well, welcome to the Repos Non-League Show, and we're here for the next hour tonight. And of course, we've got with us tonight. We've got two super guests with us tonight. And apologies to Billy first of all, because of course Billy should have been with us last week. But we've got the manager at Waltham Abbey and Billy Holland. So welcome, Billy,
Welcome. Thank you very much, mate.
and the man whose all dreams came true last year. And of course, the man that Heineken definitely need on the front of their cans. Of course, the one and only Mr. Steve Gardner from Romford Football Club. How are you, Steve?
Yeah, I'm good. Thanks, Dave. Thank you.
Good. I mean, one thing. I mean, th this week. I mean, I don't know if people heard us discussing it pre-show, but I mean, I think the biggest news, sort of non-league wise, this week has got to be Lee Allenson resigning at Hendon and being put in at Hemel Hempstead. I mean, from jumping up there from. Doing fantastic at step three. I think he was about seventh position in the Isthmian Prem, and now he's gone into the Banarama South. I mean, it's what dreams are made of, Billy, isn't it?
Yeah, that's why you work so hard. You want to move through the leagues like the players do. So when the players speak to you and say they want to step up, I think most of the management do as well. So that's a great move for them.
Steve?
Yeah, don't know too much about the setup of the two clubs, but as Billy says, sometimes we perhaps forget that managers are as ambitious as players want to be. Probably more so, really, because when you look at it, a lot of player movements, don't know the percentage, but I'm going to say it's rather high, are for financial reasons, where I suspect managers tend to move for more either for geographical reasons or they can't get on with their chairman. Can't understand why, because we're such a great bunch of people. Or they want to test themselves at a higher level. And I guess as well, really, sort of the higher up the level you go, in theory, you're playing on better pitches. Players are perhaps more dedicated. I think it's fair to say that sort of even sort of at the lower end of the pyramid, there's only certain amount of things that players can do. You don't expect a step five player to be as good as a step one or a step two. But the higher you go, I should imagine that you've got, better opportunities to sort of have more sort of players doing exactly what you want and playing the way you want them to.
Yeah, definitely. Do you know what? I think the first thing you said is key. Then to be dedicated. If you can get players who are dedicated and want to learn and want to progress, it's half the battle. It's the ones that don't really want to train are good enough, don't want to train. I think they should be picked every week. It's quite a hard situation to be in. Because step four players, majority of them, especially the ones who have played for me or play for me, should all be playing higher. But it's that small thing of dedication that everyone needs to put in.
I mean, next week, glad to say that on our Christmas edition next week, last one of the year, Lee and Ian are going to join us on the show this time next week. So we'll get some lowdown on exactly what happened and what the job is in that they've got to, well, the big job they've got to do down there at Hemel. It'll be interesting. But we were discussing, or you and Steve were discussing about Little Oakley and playing them tomorrow night. I mean, I always ask managers this question. I mean, is it a case of how seriously do you sort of take the Essex Senior Cup, and do you go out with the strongest side you possibly can, or do you start looking at other players maybe that need game time to play in the game in the Essex Cup tomorrow night?
I will be maybe half and half, really. I will rotate the squad. The players that are coming back from injury who need minutes are good enough, so they should be capable of getting the job done. I'm really, really lucky of having a really talented, strong squad. I say it all the time. I've got 22 players signed, and whenever there's an injury, there's always someone that'll take their shirt, and then the other person's struggling to get it back. So I do take it serious. I think it's a cup that you can win. I know the next round, Chelmsford are waiting for either us or Little Oakley. So the squad tomorrow will have the injured players coming back in it, but it'll have the rest of them will be the players that have been playing week in, week out for us.
I mean, I say I came down the other day to watch the game against Avery Swifts, and of course, you said you weren't there, but there's always been one player at the Abbey over the last few years that's always impressed me, and that is he's Prince. He always seems to be somebody who impressed me, but somebody that took me on, and I know he missed a penalty, and I'm sure it's the right player. Is it Amrit? I mean, he was something special, wasn't he?
Sam Flair, isn't he?
Oh dear, he was incredible.
Yeah, I know. He's picked up a knock. Amrit, when he first come in, he's 5 foot 6, on a good day. And when he was playing in pre-season, people kept saying he's too lightweight, he's too this, he's too that. But when you see them train me all week in, week out, and you know if you put someone in a phone box and they still can't get a ball off of him, you know he's something special. He just has to get fitter, sharper, and he has been getting better and better every game he's played. So it's testament to him, to be honest, because it's really physical, the kind of football we play.
Have you got him practicing penalties?
He wasn't on pennies. He's never been on pennies. That's why if I was there that Tuesday night, that wouldn't have happened. Was it Tuesday night or was it a Saturday game?
A Saturday game, yeah.
It was a Saturday game, yeah, Saturday game. I wouldn't have been too happy about it.
Well, I mean, the season itself, though. I mean, last year, really unlucky just to get pipped at the post last year. Of course, in the Southern League last year, in the Southern Central, by really, really good sort of Bedford side. I mean, talk to us about that day. I mean, because that was 90 minutes away from step three.
Going into that game, we had two really big injuries. Ben Baker, who was our main man last year, who's actually joined Bedford, and Jason Hallett. He was flying, them two connected really, really well. And Hallett was injured, started the game injured, and Ben had to sit out. So we went in there a little bit weaker than we should have. It was a really good game, to be fair. Boys were really nervous. I think there was a crowd of 2,000, makes a lot of difference. And I think we've done really well. We had an opportunity last minute of the game to equalise. We didn't take it. Goalkeeper pulled off a save, and they went up. They was built for going up, if I'm honest with you. They was got the new state, new ground being laid this year, and they had a really good squad, really good team around them. They did. It shows you the mid-table or higher in the Step 3 Southern League.
I mean, Jason Hallett, I mean, what is he? Peter Pan.
I know, tell me
He
about it.
just
I have this argument with him all the
Benjamin
time. He
Bat.
wants to play every game.
Sorry, Steve.
I said he's Benjamin Bat.
Unbelievable, isn't he? He's just
No, he's a real old-fashioned number nine. There's not many about, and he can do things that other players can't. And this is where football's really has mistakes in it, where people look at Jason, and Jason's not very quick, not very mobile. But then he holds the ball up. He's great in the air, and he knows where the ball's going to drop. And them skills alone keep him playing football.
I was sitting with a couple of guys, at the game over, and all I kept hearing was, give it to Alec before they take him off. Give it to Alec before they take him off. He said, this is
Yeah,
going to last the old game, but just give it to him and he'll score.
he thinks he can last the old game. That's the conversation we have week in, week out.
I'll tell you, there was one thing on in that game, though, in the Hamish Swift game that really did impress me, and it wasn't one of the players. It was, that stood out for me in that game was the gentleman that does your tannoy,
Yes.
because he literally lives. Literally, I could go knock on his house now and get him on the stream because he's literally just around the corner from where I live. But his words for the armistice was absolutely incredible. I mean, his speech that he did on that day for it was just, honestly, it was mind-blowing. He was absolutely fantastic.
Yeah, you know what's hard? I wasn't there that day. All the staff that work over there are real, genuinely nice people. And he's there week in, week out. He'll be there tomorrow night. So it's like they're the unsung heroes if we say anything, because we are such a little club and we need them volunteers to come and do such a great job.
I mean, talk to us a little for some people that don't know the club. I mean, tell us a little bit about club in general, because we spoke before Steve came on. In the old days that Steve will remember as well as I do, he used to go over and play at Waltham Abbey, and it'd be like playing on Brighton Beach. You go over there now, and you looks like you're playing at Wembley because the pitch is absolutely unbelievable.
Yeah, it really is. I played over there, oh God, show me age now, 21 years ago. I started over there, and if you spat on it'd be off. It was that bad. The left-hand side, you put the ball there, never run out, because it was such a horrible pitch to play on. Chairman's come in, I think he's been there 10 years now, and his first thing he wanted to do was put a proper playing surface down. He enjoys the game being played, people see it on TV. So the ball has to be played out from the back through all the thirds, etc., etc. And it's okay to tell boys that you can go and play football, but then you've got the opportunity to coach them and you can put them on a pitch where there's no excuses. So it's gone from step to step. It's getting better and better. Chairman done, I think he first done a pitch probably about 8 years ago, and he's always said, give it 3 or 4 seasons and it get better and better. He's built bigger stands over there because we're starting to get more people come through the gate because we're getting higher in the league consistently now. But it's a family-based kind of club, if I'm honest. So we're doing really well to get what we can over there.
I mean, it's just as you say, I don't know the last time Steve was over there, but the transformation is incredible. I mean, as you said, like you used to go driving to the car park, and it was like something out of the Ardennes Forest, weren't it, during World War II, because there were so many potholes in it. I mean, now he's 100% probably one of the best. I wouldn't say, you can't go as far as with the new grounds, but the existing grounds that are in non-league football. The transformation is just, well, it's just mind blowing. I mean, the car park's unbelievable. The stadium, you've got a scoreboard and that in the corner, electronic scoreboard in the corner. The pitch is incredible. Do you know what I mean? It does. And I came down here for that one game against Heybridge, and it did feel like a real family atmosphere inside the ground.
Yeah, it really is. It's getting better and better, as I said. And the chairman, every year at the end of the season, depending where we are, he goes, "This is what is the what do we need to improve on?" So he sits down, he has a conversation with his team. They say like they wanted the scoreboard, they got the scoreboard. Then they wanted another stand, got the stand. Pitch has to always be perfect. That's his pride and joy. So he always sorts the pitch out end of season. That's why we don't really have no pre-season games on it. So when the season comes in, it lasts for the season.
And people like Reno down there as well, somebody
Yeah,
that
every day Reno's down there.
I know.
When I just pop down to make sure I had a pitch, I always see him. He's always scattering about out there.
He was a scary character when I was a teenager, and he still ain't made it. He still hasn't any different.
Yeah, I bet he was. There was a tattoos and how big his hands are.
Used to work with his wife, so that's what it was in the supermarket. But I mean, the actual game, I mean, talk to us about the people behind the scenes as well then. I mean, before we start talking about the players, but I mean, but behind the scenes, we were talking as well, as I said to you beforehand, in the old days it used to be Waltham Abbey had, the senior side and not many youth sides. And of course then, the fiercest of rivals in the town in Abbey Youth had the youth sides, but not the senior sides. And now it's starting to come together, and it's fantastic, not only for Waltham Abbey, but for the town itself as well.
Yeah, it's, do you know what it is? It ain't a quick fix. It ain't an easy fix. Even for the first team, this year alone, we've got myself, we've got Spencer Harrison, assistant. We've got Charlie Gregory, who is a coach, head coach. We've got a goalkeeper coach, Anthony. We've got a physio. And them season, David, that's never been in place. So even the first team is starting to build a proper team that want to be there, that is attracted to the club. And then we've got a reserve team now. We've got a Vets team. We've got Abbey Youth who are connected. They have some of their big cup games at the club. So that's from the 18s, 17s, all the way down to the babies. So they're starting to really build something over there.
I mean, you talking about the Vets, you still got that rogue league judges playing for you down there, have you?
Yes. Yes. Yeah, I sometimes I go and have a game with them when the wife lets me.
But I mean, the clubhouse as well. I mean, talk to us about the chairman. I mean, of course, somebody that for me, there's always when the word's mentioned about Waltham Abbey, there is one sort of living legend of Waltham Abbey Football Club for me, and of course, that's Mr. Dave Hodges, because he was the rogue that got me involved in football in the first place, and I don't think the wife's ever forgiven
Yeah,
him.
Odgies is still a bat. Odgies is always over there, always has something to do with everything. The chairman's brilliant. As Steve said earlier, you have to get on with the chairman. And that's a big part why I enjoy playing it so much. He's very honest, sometimes too honest, but you always know where you stand with him. And you'll always ask him for something, he'll always say no. And then he'll phone you up the next day and say, let's have a conversation about it. So he's brilliant. John is the reason why Waltham Abbey is where they are at the minute.
I think, Dave, if you was going to, if somebody said to me, look, I've got a bucket full of money, I'm going to start my own non-league club, but I need a blueprint, I would send them over to Waltham Abbey as that being the blueprint, because Billy's right, the volunteers are really, really important to every club at non-league football. But what John's done over there, not just with the money, but the way that he's sort of grown the club organically, he hasn't got in there and sort of like thrown his money about and banged a drum and said, all come down for free on Saturday. It's grown over the years. And when you speak to him, or whenever I speak to him, he's sort of quiet and unassuming about it and sort of like, well, I've done it. That's it. It's not for me. It's for everybody. Whereas there are other sort of people at clubs that sort of have to go on social media every time they stick a fiver in the kitty and everyone's got to know about it, but he's not sort of walking around with a 2 foot cigar and a big hat on, is he? He's, but as a committee as well, you've got a really, really good committee there, haven't you? And it's a nice club. If you lived locally and you walked down there and sort of to see what it's all about, you'd go back again because somebody, probably Dave Hodges, would grab you, make you buy him a drink, and chat to you and what have you. Now, that's what it's all about at this level, isn't it? When you boil it down, it's because it's the complete contrast to top level football where you just go, you could have a season ticket at a Premier League club and not talk to the bloke in front of you, could you? Whereas if you go non-league football, chances are, if you're a smaller club and you sort of know most of your fan base, someone's going to come, oh, hello, are you new? Or what brings you over here? And that's the best way to get your fans. But you're right about that car park. I don't know about the pitch, but I mean, it was like, if I can get into the car park and get out again with my suspension still in place, that was your main aim. But he's managed to get the car park and the pitch both as flat as you'd want.
And as I say, as you just said, the blueprint, from a club, that was, it's to be honest, probably before John's time, 100% before John's time, it was suffering a little bit. Now as you say, it's just on the up massively, isn't it?
Yeah, I agree. I really agree. It's we as a club, we try to do everything properly. The way we kind of get players in, the way we release players, the way we do everything seems to we it comes it stems from the top, but everything has to be done in a right way. We can't cut corners. And as you said about the chairman chucking money around, chairman is here's the budget. Don't matter where you are in the league, it stays. That's how we're gonna be. If by Christmas you're gonna see like half of the teams go wallop, cut their budget because they can't make where they need to make. So we've never been like that. We're very loyal to our players. We're very kind of open. This is what you get. This is I hope this is enough. Handshake. That's us, really.
What sort of stuff though do you still as as the manager of the club, but is there still stuff out there that you feel that you as a club, not necessarily as the first team, but is there stuff on as a club you feel that the club are looking to sort of still improve?
Yeah, definitely. The social media side of thing, we're way behind on. I think it's because you've got so many, don't mind me saying, it's older people that ran the club. So we're not, me included, I'm not into it. So I don't understand it. But every time I talk to a player, they want to get their photo and they want it to get put on. Every time they score a goal, every mention, they can't believe that we ain't tweeting about it or putting it on Instagram or anything. So that's the modern kind of player. It's a total different era to what we used to. And I'm a person that likes to keep my cards very close to my chest. If I sign a player, I don't want to tell everyone. So when I turn up Saturday, you see that certain player on the pitch. But the players all want it. That's something we can drive and get younger people involved in it, I think.
Well, absolutely.
Downside of that as well, Billy, is when you even have the information, it can change so quickly. How many players have you thought that you've signed and would probably have stuck it out on social media, and then at the last minute turns around and says, oh no, someone else has offered me another 20 quid, so I'm not going to go. And that's the downside at non-league, because there's so much misinformation, not necessarily at the faults of the club, but players saying they're going or players saying they're staying. And even now, we sort of try and keep up with what's happening, but often players will sort of, it goes out on social media, I'm sorry to say my time at Romford is now done and I'm a free agent if anyone's looking for a centre half or whatever. And you think, blimey, we haven't had a 7-day in for you. We haven't had a request to release you, and bang, they've already put it out there. So, I mean, it's a good tool to have, but it also can be a bit distracting, as you say. They're interested about how many likes they've got, or has that goal gone on Instagram, or as how many people have seen this. Whereas sometimes you just want to focus on the actual game. I mean, I think it's at all teams now. If you pop your head around the changing room door within sort of a minute of them being in the changing room, half of them are probably already on their phones.
Yeah, do you know what? That's a good point. I spoke to someone, that's their job. He looks at the youth setup and their mindset and how they control their mind, how you get them into certain zones. And he said, the thing with young men nowadays is you're asking them to be off their phone for 5 hours while they're at football. He said, it's very distracting for them to be off their phone. They haven't got the same mindset that you had, that you did. You had a phone just to call people. These ones want to keep on looking. And so there used to be rules in the changing room that it had to, 1:30, you can't look at your phone. This time, you can't look at your phone. So I've kind of really eased down on that to kind of make them as comfortable as they can be with it. And it's such a strange thing to actually think about.
Because I mean, years ago, I mean, you used to be sitting there. I used to look at my emails probably once a month. When you said, because you'd have to get this computer out, take 5 hours for it to load up, then try and find your emails on it and all that sort of stuff. And of course, now I'm probably looking at it about 15 times a day. Do you know what I mean? Emails, if not a lot more. Do you know what I mean? Just to see different emails. And it's just that different sort of change in everybody's sort of culture, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely. Definitely.
It can be the lovely things about other clubs on social media that you perhaps think should be behind closed doors.
Yeah, I
As
agree.
well. If we went to Waltham Abbey and we had a problem there, I'd ring up John, or I'd speak to someone when I was there and say, oh, look, I know showers were cold, or we didn't get any food afterwards. I'm not convinced that spreading it all over social media is positive, because someone then comes back and says, oh, you do realise that the person that did the food, or normally does the food, was at a funeral, or did you realise this? Or sorry, the showers are cold, but we were broken into 2 days ago. And whatever you put on social media, now, even if you say good morning, someone will come back and say, well, it might be a good morning in your world, mate, but if you lived in my house, it would, you can't win. And I just think that sometimes there's too much negativity about it. Things like, and it, I mean, there are supporters probably of Waltham Abbey that can't get to every game and probably don't live local. So we have that. So when we put little videos out, videoing the manager or interviewing a player, they love seeing that, because they say, oh, yeah, I support Romford, but I now live in Scotland, or I'm in Cornwall or whatever. It's great to see the interviews, and that's the positive side. But then when you've got two clubs sort of dinging it about, sort of saying, oh, Romford went to Waltham Abbey today and their supporters were a disgrace. So obviously all your supporters were even worse. And you think, no one's going to win. No one's going to win there. It would be nice if sort of the social media, sort of at our level, didn't degenerate to the arguments that you get at Premier League clubs, where people are just basically sort of hurling abuse at each other 24/7, hiding behind a pseudonym or an anonymous keyboard.
No, absolutely. Absolutely. Well, I mean, you've got two big games. You've got the cup game Tuesday night, but then you've got two sort of real toughies, haven't you? Other teams in the playoffs. You've got Felixstowe and Morton. And then, of course, you've got Mr. James Beardwell visiting Cabershots to with Witham Town as well, just before Christmas.
I'll be honest with you, we didn't have a game Saturday, so I'll watch Felixstowe. I went and watched Felixstowe again the other day. Thing about this league that I'm in now, there's a lot of big teams. a lot of big teams. So you have to take them all really, really seriously. I haven't seen Witham yet. Our next game is Felix Sowa, so I'll concentrate on that, make sure I get as much information as I can, and hopefully be prepared for what they've got, because they are one of the best teams in our division.
Yeah, somebody said to me the other week that they thought that they were going to be the champions.
They did. The players did. I don't know anything else, because the players talk to other players and the other players tell me.
I mean, with it, how difficult was it to move from the South Central, the Summer League Central, into the Isthmian North? Was it a situation of, yeah, okay, we've gone back home sort of scenario, but how did that affect maybe your playing squad? Was there any difference between having to, in one side of it traveling one way, and now you're having to travel the opposite way?
Yeah, we lost players because of it. We lost some really good players because of it. And then I've been setting up networking for the last how many seasons in the Southern League to know who the best players are, to know who the best teams are, how they play, so on and so on. So as soon as you move to that side, all them players that you've had lined up are out the window. None of them can travel this way. So we lost three or four very good players. And then we had to move into the north and get to know everything again. And then we had to rebuild our squad.
Maybe you had a good victory though the other week. I mean, I think it's probably one of the, I wouldn't say surprise results for the getting the win, but I think the score was more of a surprise. The one against Tilbury. Was
Yeah.
that?
I actually called it, to be honest with you. I spoke to the manager from Sporting Bengal, and he thinks Tilbury are probably the best team he's played this season. And I think they are a very good team. But I knew the way they would try to play against us, and I knew it really suit us. And the weeks beforehand, when we're picking up draws, teams have been having two shots against us, scoring two goals. We've been having 14, 15, and scoring two goals. So it was one of them games where sooner or later, we're going to click. And Tilbury was one of them games that just clicked.
Well, you spoke as well about, social media side of it. I mean, you've got people recording your games for you, because I know you used to send the goals in to me for the Summer League,
Yes,
you
we've still got the VO, still got someone recording our games, home games. It helps so we can go back, reflect on the game. It helps for the players as well, because you're telling them what you think they're not doing. They can't see it, so I think that's massive to have a video.
And is that sort of side of it as well? You go on to it goes on to like a YouTube channel or anything like that, or
I'm not
is,
too sure. I'm not
yeah.
too sure. Dave Hodges is the one that kind of does all that side of things.
Right.
But I know Dave's been away doing his job. So Dave's never 100% there at the minute. So he does the best he can with the time he's got.
He's out there and having a pint or two on the beach.
Yes, didn't want to say
Oh,
that.
well. Enjoying himself, and rightly so. And
If you ask me, the Southern League or the North, what's the difference? I'd say there's more spending power in the North than there is in Southern League. Southern League, there's probably five, six teams top whack. But after that, you can compete financially, and then you can go around and nick players. In this league, you're looking at 10 teams, 12 teams that have the same spending power, or some have a little bit more that you can't approach. You speak to a player, and someone who's 16th in the league can offer him more than you can. And you're thinking, wow, this is something I'm not really used to.
And it's quite surprising in that North, because it's back to the days, Stephen, when I was in it with Harley, you was in it with Romford as well. And you look at some of the teams, and it's all sort of familiar teams, a couple of sort of names, but a new took from when we were in it, but I've been in it for some time. I mean, you've got the likes of, Haringey Borough, they're right down in 20th. You've got Cambridge City in 16th, Morden Tiptree 15th. Concord Rangers, a couple of years ago, step two, they're down in 12th, Walthamstow, Brentwood Town, and you've got Heybridge Swifts under Julian Dix, Greys, and then Tilbury, Felixstowe, Morton, and Bury Town, who are a side who always seem to sort of flatter to deceive, would you say? I think through the years, I mean, they're one of those sides, the highest sort of gate every year, and that never ever seem to get over the line, do they?
Great team, Bury Town. Really good team, really good setup. Everything about it is really good. And as you said, they've never got over the line. They're doing a real good job this season. Obviously, that's the target. That's the bench that everyone's got to get to if they're going to not take them off of it. Sooner or later, they might have a little run of not winning a couple of games, and if it tightens up a little bit, we'll see what happens there.
I suppose one thing sort of with it as well. I mean, plan wise, I mean, are you still looking to sort of improve the squad or get other players in?
Only
Or
if
you
they
gonna...
come available. If they come available, if it's a special player that is better than what I've got, I'll have the conversation. But players nowadays, it's quite hard to have the conversation because they all want guarantee. I'm going to guarantee playing. It's like, don't work like that. You've got to earn it here. If you can come here and you can earn it, then the shirt's yours. If you think you're just going to come here and play football, it's not like that. The whole reason at Mabby is you come in here, I will tell you what your weaknesses are. I will personally show you how to improve on them, and we will work through it, and I'll make you a better player. Doesn't mean you're going to start every game, but from now till the end of the season, you'll be a better footballer. But they don't hear that. They want to hear the lies. They want to hear you come here, you'll start every game, you'll be the main man, and then 3 weeks later at the door.
I thought he was going to give me the Paul Halsey answer then, that I'm always looking.
Yeah, sorry,
That's what
a
he
bit long, wasn't
always
it?
says to me every Sunday. I'm always looking. But
Yeah, it sounds
how, I mean, going on to Romford, I mean, how sort of envious maybe were you of this gentleman, getting exactly what he deserved by getting to Wembley and winning the FA Vars at Wembley? I know you wouldn't want to be in the FA Vars because that would mean you'd be one step down, but you know what I'm trying to say, non-league day. I mean, what an achievement from Romford last year.
it's brilliant. It's one of them where you watch from afar and you're looking and you're thinking they won again. Yeah, I could do this. They won again. See the players they're recruiting. You're thinking, hold on a minute, and you take them really seriously, and you're happy that they've done it because you know what's gone on in the past at Romford. So they was Romford. That was a battling team, always fighting. Then they got a bit of money chucked at them. That didn't last, and then you feel, oh, you think they're going to rise, and then they've gone and done it themselves again. So it's brilliant.
Have we overcome it all now, Steve?
Yeah. Well, look, you're never going to forget the day out. You're never going to forget that. And whatever happens, someone said to me the other day, our name will be on that trophy forever. I mean, it's a massive achievement, whether you get to the final of the Vars, final of the, trophy or whatever. It's a massive achievement. But within the same sort of season, we did what Waltham Abbey did. We failed to go up through the playoffs. We lost the playoff final sort of 4 days before we or 4 or 5 days before we went to Wembley. And that was always our aim. Look, I wouldn't have swapped it, don't get me wrong, but that's our aim, is to try and get out of step five and get into step four because we want to progress. We're back now sort of with a more sort of modest budget and sort of are now getting ha having to get used to players sort of moving on and what have you. We've lost a couple in the last 2 or 3 weeks, but that's no different for a lot of clubs. There's always someone out there than you that's got deeper pockets or has got more money. So we lose a player today to Waltham Abbey, and Waltham Abbey could lose them to Chelmsford the week, a couple of weeks later, and Chelmsford could then lose them to, someone else. So it's never ending. I think the danger is trying to compete with a budget that you can't afford. As Billy said, they get given a budget at the beginning of the season, and I'm pretty sure if he goes back to John and sort of asks for a bit more, John will sort of say, "Well, hang on, that's your budget. I need you to work within it." I mean, after Christmas, when it gets to February, I'm sure all managers are sort of saying, "Look, I just need a little bit more, just for that one more player." But it's you hear some terrible stories of people sort of trying to chase, to sort of compete with those budgets. If you've got good attendance, but if you look at the attendances in the north, I don't quite know how that they all pan out, but I think Bury are getting somewhere between 700 and 900 every game. Whereas there's probably someone in the north, that's perhaps only getting 200 a game. Well, that's a hell of a difference towards your budget. And as long as the team that's getting the 200 doesn't try and compete with the one getting the 900, then everyone should fight for another season.
I mean, the actual see, I mean, the day was just second to none. I mean, it was just a phenomenal day, weren't it? The way that Wembley looks after you as well. I mean, on the day, and it was just sensational. But how sort of quickly was it that you saw, that things were, where, people started to leave? I mean, because it sort of did it lose the shine a little bit for you because you thought maybe you could go again this year with the same sort of team?
I would have liked to have gone again with Dan as the manager and the same squad, but it would have been unfair for Dan to try and put in the same amount of money. Obviously, those players had been highlighted, they'd been on television, there was a lot of interest from other clubs afterwards. And although it's frustrating as a chairman, I've always had the view that if players want to go and get more money, then that's up to them. I've never sort of, if there's any blame, I suppose I would blame the clubs for offering it. Does that make sense? Same as when you played, Billy. If you was on 80 quid a week and someone Romford come to you and offered you 500 quid, it's probably not going to be a very long decision making process. Is that Billy's fault for taking the 500 quid, or is it our fault for he's probably thinking, well, blimey, if they're going to give me 500 quid, I'm going to go. And if it only lasts for 5 or 6 weeks, then it's good. There are still some players that don't move around. But it's just the business of non-league football. So sort of once we knew that Dan wasn't going to be able to put in the money that he was previously, so the budget would be nowhere near what it was, obviously players decided to move on. But we wished them well. They're obviously always going to have a part of Romford's history. Anyone that was part of that squad on that day were, going to be part of the Romford's thing. And we just had to rebuild. I think the only thing from a personal point of view was the manager left and a large part of the squad left. And I was just concerned that people thought perhaps something had gone wrong at Romford or something wasn't quite right. And it just wasn't that at all. Dan got offered another job where they were able to support him with a budget, and obviously he took the players that he knew, which were the ones that we knew. But then that gave us the opportunity to give Chris Newby sort of his, I won't say his first chance of management, because I know he'd done a little bit at Basel, but his first, what we hope to be, long-term management job. And I was going to ask Billy, you're in sort of a similar position to Chris. You're a young manager, probably sort of half hung up his boots and half not hung up his boots. Do you think it's easier in your position and Chris's position, i.e., being a young manager, knowing players because you've played with them, rather than perhaps being sort of someone who hasn't been around the game for a little while and doesn't know players?
Being a manager in all is really difficult. It's managing them players. And the players that I have played with and players that I knew are all at a certain age now. And they're not capable of playing the way of style of football that I see and want to play. It took me years, like a few years, to work out that I had to get new eyes on different people. So personally, I just went and watched every game I could possibly watch. And just watch the levels and see if I could pick up certain players that are suitable to the style of football that we need. I thought it would be easier because I thought I knew everyone. But when you bring friends in, it gets even tougher because you have to leave them out and you have to be honest with them. And it's really, really difficult because no one wants to hear that you're not in my plans.
Well, someone's just sent a message in and they've asked a question, which is quite a question. I don't know why I didn't ask it myself, but there we go. But it's a great question for you, Billy, just for 2 seconds, Steve. They've asked the question is, what have you changed the playing style of Waltham Abbey since you become the sole manager of Waltham Abbey rather than sort of like sharing the role with Michael?
Me and Michael, we'd have same kind of how could I say it? We'd have the same kind of philosophy, the same kind of style, but we both see things differently. We both see we'd agree on something, and then I'd ask Michael to show and coach it. And then when I show and coached it, it's two different things. We both see, I don't think two people really see the same pictures in their head. So since last season, when I took over by myself, it felt like I could really get my kind of picture across, especially when I'm not on the pitch anymore. It was very difficult to try to do it from the pitch.
Interesting, interesting. So, Steve, I mean, with Romford, though, I mean, not too bad. I mean, he's sitting there in fifth position in the league. I mean, how disappointed were you to go out of the Vars at the first hurdle this year?
First hurdle, I was disappointed. I mean, I don't look, people were saying, oh, wouldn't it be good to retain it? But I mean, that was never an opportunity. I would have liked to have won perhaps one or two games, perhaps to have gone sort of into the new year still being in a major competition. But that's what happens, isn't it? That's non-league football. You know, one year you do really well in a cup competition, and the next year you don't. You know, but another part of me thinks that's been a bit greedy. You know, look, we won it last year. You know, it's you know, we haven't got a right to sort of win these games. You know, we were drawn against a team in our own division in Takeley. Don't know how Billy feels about that, but whenever I'm in a cup competition, I want to play someone from a different league. I don't want to play someone that I've played 2 weeks before or 3 weeks before. I quite like the unknown, playing teams that you don't know, going to different grounds and what have you. But yeah, no, we got beat by Takeley. They deserved their win on the day, and luck to them.
And I mean, with it, sitting in there, it's not too bad. I mean, you say sitting there in fifth. I mean, do you think? I mean, Chris is doing a fantastic job so far. You know, I mean, are you expecting to get in that sort of playoff position by the end of the year?
Yeah, that's the aim. I mean, the only trouble is there's probably about seven other teams as well that have got a good enough squad to do it. So there's probably eight or nine people fighting for those 5 places. But our problem at the moment's been inconsistency. You know, we've had some really good results, went to Saffron Walden and beat them, and we've had some other good results. And then we've had some games where I think we felt we should have done better. I don't want to be disrespectful for other teams, but games at the end of it, you know, where you think, you know, I was at a draw, we should have won that, or how did we lose that? We should have drawn that. So I think Chris feels that he's probably sort of thrown 5 or 6 points away this season, which obviously would give us in a better position. But there's still a long way to go. We've got everyone to play at least once. And our league at the moment is where anyone can beat anyone, and they are beating them, apart from Stanway that's sort of running away with it a little bit. You know, each week, sort of one of the top five is getting beat. Whereas, sort of when you look at the football web pages and the Isthmian North, I don't know if it was the week before last, and it sort of you looked at it, and it was like, you know, the top five or six had all won, and the bottom six had all lost. They're always like true to form. Whereas, sort of our league seems to be throwing up a lot of surprises, but a lot of it is who can keep their squads together.
Yeah,
That's
definitely.
the trouble. You know, we've lost, I think we've lost four or five players so far this season that have, you know, that are doing really well. You know, and you think perhaps they're your talisman or they're going to be your top goal scorer. And of course, someone comes in and makes an unbelievable offer, and we've lost players to sort of the likes of sort of, you know, Morden, Cambridge, what have you. So players are going up the leagues, which is good for them. You know, it's nice that we've been part of their progression, but that's perhaps not how you feel when the manager says X, Y, and Z has gone. That's why we're always on the lookout for other players or people that are perhaps looking to make the step up, or perhaps players are looking to make the step down. But you've got to do that within your budget. You know, if a player who's on 25 quid goes, then you can only really bring someone in for 25 quid. You know, you can't then go mad and sort of then bring in someone that's sort of really expensive.
I mean, I saw Scott come back and then was gone again just as quick.
Yeah, he came back for two games, and then I think it's Rayner's Lane he's gone to, perhaps made him an offer he couldn't refuse.
Justin, yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's really difficult, Billy, because sort of I say as a chairman, you know, sort of people come up to me and say, oh, you know, if I say, oh, we've got Waltham Abbey on Saturday, you know, it's going to be a real tough one. they've got a budget of 4.5 grand a week or whatever, or we're going to Waltham Abbey on Saturday. I think we'll win that one. They've only got a budget of 800 quid or whatever, and I've got absolutely no idea where these people get these figures from. Because when we speak in the boardroom, apart from perhaps one or two chairmen that I know very well, and they know I'll keep the confidence. If I was playing at Waltham Abbey, no one would tell me what the budget was. So it's quite funny. And I guess you hear it as well, don't you, with players probably saying, look, I want this because I've heard you got this budget. And you think, well, I'm not seeing that. So,
yeah, that is massive. Everyone talks money constantly, saying that they've got this, that, and the other. And you speak to the managers and you say, oh, you've got so on. I haven't got so on. I don't know where that's come from.
Well, you've got West Essex at home next, then Buckhurst still, and then a certain Mr. Craig Edwards 2 days after Boxing Day.
Yeah. That's out, isn't it? Just after Boxing Day, and then we've got Craig. No, I mean, he'll do a good job at barking. I mean, if he's dragged the address book with him, then, there's not many clubs he's gone to and hasn't done well at. He's a wily fox, Mr. Edwards.
Yeah, I thought he's lost it, has he, since he's turned up?
Yeah.
Just do great guys. But I mean, talk to us a little bit about some of the players, the new players you have now got down at Romford then.
No. I've got a guy who manages 15 miles away from Romford, and you want me to tell him all to go? There's a big centre forward called Steve Gardner. He's really good. Colin Ewanson, our goalkeeper. Now we've got some good young players coming through. I'm trying to think who we've got that you guys would know. Harry Gerling, who used to be in goal for Tilbury. Mm-hmm. He's our goalkeeper at the moment.
I've seen him many a times. He always turned me down, he did.
Yeah, we've got two brothers playing for us. Ken and Derek, Faye, they're good.
Yeah,
we've got a couple of guys from last year's squad. We've got three or four from last year's squad that didn't make the Wembley squad, but stayed with us. And the one good thing with players going is it does give an opportunity for other players. And we've had three or four of them probably this season that have shined and done well. We've got Jake Gordon, who was at Great Wakering last season and played in the final against us. But Jake's been sort of plagued by injuries at the moment. But we're, on paper, we've got a good squad. We've got a good squad. But it's a case of actually going out on the pitch and replicating, sort of, I'm not a footballing expert, but sometimes you'll see one of the players do say it on the pitch and you think, I'm pretty sure the manager hasn't asked him to do that. but that's football.
But what's the situation then with, as well, with the ground at Romford? Is that still on the back burner or is that getting closer?
It's still on the back burner. It's still on the back burner. It's still something that we want to achieve. I mean, everyone will tell you that playing in your own facility in your own town is what you need, and we know that if that happens, we will get bigger crowds and we'll get a better fan base. But like everything else, it's money, and it's a hard sell to tell someone to build a football ground is a good investment and they'll get a good return on their money.
Mm. I mean, I suppose is the lady wife happy that that you are out the FA bars because she hasn't got to start doing car park duty this year?
I mean, it's not very loyal, but her exact words to me was, "Does that mean we can get rid of that bloody box next to the bed?" So I think she'll be keen when the bedroom sort of got a bit more space. No, she had a wonderful time. She had a wonderful time. And I've left her with the illusion that that's what football at step five is exactly like. That's the sort of food that you get. That's how you get looked after. That's the car parking facilities and everything. So, but no, she used to go to a lot of the games sort of when we first met and before we had kids and what have you. But yeah, she was really pleased for us. And to be honest, it was nice for for her as well. I mean, I think Billy just said that you're married, are you, Billy? You know, so yeah, you know, footballing widows don't have a great life, and sometimes, you know, at the end of the season do, or whenever it is nice to, you know, because they're sending you out the door probably at 12 o'clock, and they're desperate for you to win because they're a decent Saturday night. Probably depends on how you come in at 5:30 or 5:45, you know. So yeah, no, it was nice for my wife and Colin's wife and all the volunteers and all the volunteers' family to come along and have a great day out. And really, every non-league club should get some sort of day out like that. Appreciate it can't be Wembley, but you know, whether it's a playoff final or something, because they're the days that we live for.
I mean, I know we're going to, if I can, sort of as one of the sort of final questions. What was it actually? I mean, I saw your reaction because I was there filming your reaction at the time. What was the feelings? Your overwhelming feelings, you know, going into sort of like those last couple of minutes of the game at Wembley, and actually, I would assume one of your lifelong dreams of winning a cup at Wembley. I mean, what was it like?
Yeah, it was just it was quite surreal. And I mean, with no disrespect to anyone, I'm watching it back now and looking at those last 2 minutes where we were 3-0 up, and then looking at you videoing me sort of wringing my hands and gnashing my teeth. It's like I can't see. There's no correlation between it. You know, we were 3-0 up, and you know, there was literally 2 minutes to go. I just think it was the fact. Excuse me. I think the fact that you were at Wembley, you know, and it was like it wasn't even on the bucket list. It's I suspect that most people that are involved in football, either playing or managing at sort of step 4 and step 5, taking your team to Wembley, although you'd love to do it, it's not on your bucket list because it's sort of too far removed from what you can do. But no, it was just for all the supporters going over and sort of walking out on the pitch and going over to the supporters and people sort of saying, you know, I've waited 60 years for this, or I'm really pleased. And there were people that can't normally get to the games that come along and what have you. I think it was just the day. I mean, winning it was the icing on the cake, but for anyone that gets there, although it's terrible to lose, just the build up for a couple of weeks and the day up until sort of, you know, when the game starts, it's just a fantastic experience.
I mean, I know for myself. I remember, you know, going there and getting that sort of like band thing, that the sort of like the tabard, the sort of necklace bit with all your accreditation on it, and you're looking at that. And I remember just sitting there the following week, and that's when I think it sank in a little bit. It was the following week when it was the FA Cup final, and they were interviewing Alex Ferguson, and he's got exactly the same
Yeah.
badge on, exactly the same places that he could go that I had on mine the week previous. And it was just, I think it was just the way that the whole day was set up. The clubs were treated as if they were Barcelona, Real Madrid, or Arsenal, Manchester City. You know, people might not have seen some of the videos that were put out, but you know, when you go into the dressing room and you know, and you've got your logo printed on the floor in the dressing room, do you know what I mean? And stuff like this. It was just, you know, absolutely incredible to actually see all the stuff behind the scenes as well.
We watched the cup final as well because my wife wanted to see who was sitting in her seat, and she's convinced it was Prince William. I'm not convinced it was. And then she said, "Oh, that's the lady I was talking to. She was sitting two seats along with me. She's really nice. I don't know if she's with the other team or not." The chair of the FA. But no, it was wonderful. But hopefully, it hasn't spoilt us as people as a club. You know, we're still who we were, and you know, we're not big time Charlies. We had a good run. It was fantastic for Dan, fantastic for the players, you know, and it's a happy memory. And this year, two other teams can have a go and enjoy the experience. And sort of, you know, we're back to the real work of trying to get promotion. And actually, that may prove more difficult and take a longer time than getting to Wembley, but that's what we love about the game, isn't it? Because when you set off in your car at 12 o'clock, you know, on a Saturday or whatever, or 5 o'clock on a Tuesday, you don't know what's going to happen, do you? You don't know. You might know what the result should be. As Billy said, he called it against Tilbury, but there's been other games that he's probably called it like I have. And when we went down to Canvey the year we got relegated and got beat 13-0, I don't think anyone called that, not even Canvey. And I believe that sort of the Wembley trip was perhaps our, that was someone saying, look, sorry, you lost 13-0 at Canvey, but we're trying to even it up a bit. But no, that's what I love about football is the unpredictability, and that on your day you can beat anyone. That's why the FA Cup's still a great competition, isn't it?
Listen, mate, I mean, tonight, we're talking to yourself, Steve Romford, Billy at Wolf Mode. You couldn't wish for two better clubs. I mean, the clubs are just absolutely outstanding. Do you know what I mean? Romford got their day in the sun last year. Maybe you'll get your day in the sun again this year by getting back into step four, which I really do hope. And hopefully Billy will get his day in the sun as well. And let's say automatic, shall we? And just go out to and go out to. And got to step three and get his place in that Arisman Prem. I know you're like probably the southern the southern south or something. A nice trip down that way somewhere. But listen, it's been fantastic talking to both of you tonight. It really has. And Steve, it's always a pleasure. As you know, we speak quite regularly, and it's always an absolute pleasure and a privilege to talk to you. And again, a massive thank you for everything that you've done for me. I really, really do appreciate it. Billy, it's been fantastic talking to you. Look forward to seeing you again. Hopefully, I can get down there tomorrow night. I shall certainly try. It just depends on work. But if not, I'll definitely be down there for the game against Wigan in a couple of weeks' time. And again, if there's anything I can do, as I've said to Steve, and I'll say the same to you as well, Billy, if there's anything I can do social media wise, you've only got to give us a shout,
Thank
and
you.
I'll try and sort something out for you and help out as best I possibly can. But a massive thank you for both of you being on. Massive thank you for everybody for watching it again tonight. I say this time next week we'll be joined by Lee and Ian Allinson next week for the show, and hopefully we might even have Bracknell Town joining us as well next week. We're in talks with them to get Bracknell on to join us next week as well. But until next week, good night.